I'm excited and enthusiastic about being at the Palladium and being new to Indiana. And so I'd like you to, if you would be so kind as to welcome my partner in marriage and in ministry for 38 years, First Lady Raiselda Granberry Trimble. You can't see her probably. I can't see her. The lights are down, but... Oh, thanks be to God. If you want to walk fast, the African proverb says, walk alone. But if you want to walk far, walk together. I want to reflect for a few moments on the subject, just a closer walk with Jesus on this Palm Sunday. But first, I want to take a few moments to offer a blessing and prayer for the Carmel United Methodist Church. And I would invite you to prayerfully listen. And then I will invite the lead pastor to come. And if there's a lay leader close by, she can hand it off to that person. The bishop's blessings. Oh, give thanks to you for the ministry of Carmel United Methodist Church as your people gather to worship you. We thank you for all of the pastors, lay leaders, and members who have made this day possible. And now I ask your richest blessings upon Reverend Patricia Napier, Reverend Michael Collins, the staff and leadership, and upon all who are part of this congregation and community, particularly those whose lives are touched by its ministry. Keep them faithful to you, O God, and bless them with faith, strength, courage, and service. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Bishop Julius C. Trimble, April 9th, 2017, on this Palm Sunday. Invite the pastor to come, and would you give God a hand praise in Carmel United Methodist Church as well. I'm often introduced as a United Methodist bishop, and I want to give honor and praise to all of the guests who are here who are not part of Carmel Church. I believe His Honor the Mayor is here. Where's the mayor? Let's give the mayor a hand as well. Praise God. I don't live in Carmel, but I drive through here enough and spend enough money in Carmel. Well, I ought to be included in the Carmel community as well. Praise God. I'm often introduced as a United Methodist bishop. I'd actually rather be introduced as a Protestant, because that would include my friends who are Baptist and Presbyterian, Lutheran. Actually, I would rather be introduced as a Christian. That would include my friends and my neighbors who are Roman Catholic and Eastern Orthodox. Truth be told, I'd rather be introduced as a Judeo-Christian. We believe in both the Old and New Testament. That would include my Jewish neighbors as well. At the end of the day, sisters and brothers, I would rather be introduced as a child of God. That would include every single person on the planet Earth, because we are one human family and all are children of God. If you want to walk fast, walk alone. If you want to walk far, walk together. I was asked last night, we are new to Indiana. I was asked last night, what were my observations and experiences being relatively new to Indiana? I'll probably use this Reverend McGarvey for at least a year and a half, keep saying that I'm new. But I was asked, what were my early impressions of Indiana? I said, well, first of all, the music has been excellent. Every place that we have been to worship, every place that I've been thus far, the music has been excellent. I don't want to take this Palm Sunday to say it's been outstanding. Actually, I would rather say that it's been marvelous. And in fact, I think it's been something, nothing short of magical and magnificent. The music has been outstanding. It has been said that sacred praise ushers us into the presence of God. And worship is what we do when we come together. Palm Sunday has always been one of my favorite Sundays. As the children were coming forward, I could reflect back upon my own childhood. Palm Sunday was always one of my favorite Sundays because the children were always included in the processional, and we were given free permission to wave and to wildly dance and so forth with the palms. It was a Sunday that we typically left church with something in our hands, often the palms that were made into crosses. And then later I found out that some of those palms were kept and burnt and used at the next year's Ash Wednesday service. I learned that what we do by way of religious ritual, Christian practice, family tradition, is connected to a story that is 2,000 years old. And at the center of this story is a Savior whose name is Jesus of Nazareth. Next January 2018, my wife and I will be leading for the first time persons from the state of Indiana to the Holy Land. It will be our seventh trip to the Holy Land. And I'm hoping that we'll get the same guide, or one of the guides that we got last time, 2 years ago. Her name is Sanai. Sanai is a Palestinian Christian who was born in Nazareth. And when people ask her, how long have you been a Christian? How long has your family been Christian? She says, well, you know, all the way back to Jesus, you know, the time of Jesus. In Matthew's gospel that you heard read with such power and clarity from Superintendent Michelle Cobb, we hear the story of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. In that same gospel, Matthew's gospel, the entry into Jerusalem and the cleansing of the temple occur on the same day. We experience the humility of the Prince of Peace riding in on a donkey, and as well as righteous indignation of the King of Kings, who's upset about hypocrisy and taking advantage of the poor. Scholars say that Jerusalem during the time of Passover increased dramatically in population. There were hundreds of thousands of people in Jerusalem. And so we need not mistake the crowd that was cheering on Jesus as being all of the people who were in Jerusalem. And here he comes into Jerusalem with the humility of a king or royalty riding on a donkey, not just as fulfillment of Zechariah the 9th chapter, which says your king is coming to you mounted on a donkey and a colt. There is nothing usual or ordinary or stereotypical about Jesus. In Mark's account of this same event, Jesus is followed by a crowd from Jerusalem who was attracted to his ministry. But he does not ride in on a camel, a symbol of wealth. He doesn't ride in on a horse or chariot as a king or emperor, a symbol of military might. He comes in riding as Prince of Peace on a donkey. His procession may not have been met by jubilation by those who thought him to be a prophet, those who thought he would be a conqueror, one who would come and overthrow Roman domination or enter in and usher in the reign of God. Jesus comes not to meet the expectations, the great expectations of the crowd, but to meet our needs. So often we are disappointed when our expectations are not met. As a bishop of the church, sometimes I even get letters of complaint when people say that their expectations are not met in their local congregations. But I want to say so desperately that it is not our expectations that Jesus comes to meet. It is our needs that he comes to meet. It's interesting that we read this story. We experience Palm Sunday with Jesus riding in on a beast of burden. Most of his ministry, he walked. In fact, this is the only account you'll read about him riding this way. And I don't know what your goal is. My goal is 7,000 to 10,000 steps a day. And just any casual reading of the Bible, we would know that Jesus was walking far more, Pastor, than 7,000 to 10,000 steps a day. But even when he's walking, or even now as he's riding into Jerusalem, Jesus is coming closer to the people of God. And the people of God have an opportunity to come closer to Jesus. They came close enough to shout, "Hosanna, Hosanna," as a refrain from a praise song, which really meant, save us to save. But this is not a Palm Sunday parade ending in celebration. This is the beginning of a week, sisters and brothers, a journey toward pain and suffering and sacrifice and a cross. This is the journey that leads to salvation. When he enters, the crowd begins to ask the question, "Who is this?" "This is the prophet Jesus," they respond. Barry Sloan, Methodist minister born in Northern Ireland, states that where the body of Christ faithfully exhibits and reflects the unfailing love of God today, people still want to know, "Who is this Jesus that calls us to worship? Who is this Jesus who comes to meet needs, not mistaken expectations?" May we be able to answer as they did, "This is Jesus. This is the one who comes to save." In Jesus, we see the incomprehensible God. It is the closest that we are able to come to God. The friend of sinners whose grace is wide enough to accept the very wealthy and homeless beggar the same. Who is this? Bishop Reuben Job, in one of his latter books, said there are three simple questions. The first question is, who is God? The second question is, who are we? And the third question is, who are we together? Who is God? We see who God is as Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem and the crowd is shouting, "Hosanna, save us." God is the one who comes to take our souls across the finish line of forgiveness. God is the one who does the heavy lifting on a cross. God is the one who forgives us of our sins and echoes throughout the ages the words of the prophet Jeremiah, "I love you with an everlasting love," so much so that this week begins the passion of Christ. Who is this? Pope Francis says God has a name. His name is love. Who is this? Jesus of Nazareth, who comes to save, who comes to demonstrate humility. And too often we have mistaken humility for passivity and weakness. Humility is simply power under control. When our capacity to spread hope and show love and do justice is compromised, we have a problem as a church and as a people. But when we're able to answer the question, who is God? God is the one who comes as love. God is the one who extends grace to us. In fact, grace is simply God's love with your name on it. The second question is, who are we? Who are we? Most people know, not long after I got to Indiana, I often share with people that I'm an enthusiastic fan of the Chicago Cubs. I was a Cubs fan long before they won the World Series. I was born in Chicago, and we grew up watching WGN-TV, and people ask me, "Well, why are you just a Cubs fan?" I'm not just a Cubs fan. I'm a fan of lots of sports teams, but I'm a diehard Chicago Cubs fan. Amen. But I want to be more than just a fan of Jesus. Henry Nouwen asked the question in the Selfless Way of Christ, is it possible to take Jesus totally seriously? And I want to suggest to you and submit to you today on this Palm Sunday, as we hear the story from Matthew, that it is possible to take Jesus totally seriously. I'm a fan. A fan is defined as an enthusiastic admirer. I'm an enthusiastic admirer of the Chicago Cubs. I'll pay good money to get a ticket to a Cubs game. But I want to be more than just a fan of Jesus. We are the beloved of God, and I want to be more than just one who casually follows and admires and cheers Hosanna when the crowds cheer Hosanna, and then quickly turns around and says, "Crucify him." I want to be more than just an enthusiastic fan. I want to be a true follower of Jesus. I asked this question several weeks ago when I was preaching. If I was accused of being a Christian, if you were accused of being a Christian, would there be sufficient evidence to convict you of being a Christian? I'd hire the best lawyer I could find. I'm sure you've got some good lawyers in the Carmel United Methodist Church. I'd hire the best lawyer that I could find who would argue the case that Julius Trimble, now called bishop, is a good Christian. He goes to church most Sundays. He gives in the offering plate. He's participated in mission experiences, hands-on mission experiences. He even has considered buying one of those fish stickers to put on the back of his car. But God may be desiring more than just that, more than just my enthusiastic cheering on of Jesus, more than my expectations being satisfied by my religious experiences. Maybe when we are able to answer the question who we are the children, the beloved of God. We are the ones who will not turn our heads and our eyes away from those who are hurting and suffering, the overlooked, the discounted, the disconnected. We are the ones who recognize that we've been saved by grace through Jesus Christ, and we want to extend that love to others wherever we find them, wherever we encounter them. We are the beloved children of God, called to be more than just fans, but true followers. We want to do more than just shout Hosanna in the crowd. We want to recognize the suffering that will follow this day, the sacrifice that will follow this day. And the third question Bishop Jobes suggests we answer is, who are we together? Who are we together? Milford Manatra says there are four dimensions of a missional church, and I want to expand that a little bit. This is who I believe we are together. We are the people who love God. We are the people who live God's mission in real time. We are the people who love people, all people, wherever they come from. We are the people who will lead them to follow Jesus and to accept Jesus and to share Jesus and to love Jesus. Last Sunday, I was worshiping one of our congregations, and a lay member shared a five-minute ministry witness about autism, and that April was Autism Awareness Month, and gave me this blue puzzle piece that I'm wearing. He went on to share for only 5 minutes some of the statistics about autism, and he extended an invitation, a thanksgiving, and a challenge to his congregation. He talked about what it was for he and his wife to be parents of a 21-year-old daughter who has autism. And he went on to say that the church plays a critical role of making space for everybody, no matter what challenges they're facing. It faces a critical role of being wide enough and big enough and broad enough and deep enough, not only to understand, but to advocate on behalf of all of God's children. The church has a role to pay attention and to walk with people and to help people take Jesus seriously. We have a responsibility to not only help people take Jesus seriously, but to personally walk closer and closer with Jesus. Just a closer walk with thee. I remember the song being sung as a child in my home church, "Just a Closer Walk with Thee." Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily, daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. In the 1940s, the Jubilee Singers recorded Just a Closer Walk with Me. In the 1960s, Mahalia Jackson sang that song during the Civil Rights Movement along with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Later in the 80s and 90s, Johnny Cash sang the song, Patsy Cline, Willie Nelson, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus, if you please, daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. On this Palm Sunday, I'm willing to admit and willing to confess I am weak, but Thou art strong. Jesus, keep us from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk. Let us walk together. Let us walk together close to Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it is possible for us to take Jesus totally seriously. Amen.